at the well.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And so, like, we started the while back, the last transmission was we were talking about the...
We were talking about, you know, we moved from the roundabout gospel, and then we went straight on to
the
body
language,
John chapter 4.
And so the focus was to see the unspoken words between Jesus and this woman, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. So we want to go further in what we started the other time, and so go more on about this sitting. Have we really said all about this body posture?
Well, really, based on our last discussion that we had, we've just begun to scratch the surface of this posture, this body language that Christ exhibited when he made sure he was in that posture when that woman came to meet him by the well. And don't forget, as we actually came to a point in last discussion, that this wasn't just something that Christ did at the well. It was an eternal, everlasting principle that God himself displayed in Genesis chapter 1 towards the last few verses, and Genesis chapter 2 for the first few verses. For the fact that even Adam himself was actually created, Adam became conscious to encounter a God that was resting, that was seated. Adam's first day was God's seventh day of rest. And we kind of tie down all those things together. But today we are going to actually go further and deeper into that.
Yeah, to remind you, anybody joining for the very first time, this is the Exposé 247 where we turn the light on and we meet Christ. No much more, just like you, it's already known. And so we're on the Bucket Ministry, and this is going to be the fourth
episode
on Bucket Ministry. So you can go back to our YouTube page or Facebook page on our website, www.thenation, as you can see on the screen,
the new nation,
and where you can get more of this and some of our previous episodes. So today we want to continue from where we stopped.
Thank you. Now let's move on. Now, see, the last verse, verses that we ran through Hebrews and through the book Colossians and book of Genesis. Now, what we have begun to emphasize, that to Jesus, it was not the fact that the woman had to encounter Jesus at John chapter 4 that was important to him. He had to make sure the woman met him sitting.
Met
him resting and sitting, because there was something significant he wanted the woman to actually take from that particular encounter. And that's the very thing that Christ presented to you and I, even at the new birth. We are supposed to encounter the Christ that is seated in the heavenly places, like we read in our last transmission, Colossians chapter 3. Follow us today as we go to Ephesians. You know, why is it that the order is so important?
Yeah.
Why do we as a Christian, or why do you as a Christian, or somebody who believes in the Lord Jesus, have to start your creation from rest? Well, when I say creation, I presume you understand that in the same way that Adam was created in Genesis chapter 1, you also were created in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. So when we start using the word creation, we'll be going forward and backward between Adam's creation and your creation in Christ. What? Jesus. You're a new creation. You're a new species. All things are passed away. All things have become new. So you are God's workmanship. You were created
in Christ
Jesus.
Jesus.
So please, when we use the word creation, we will be moving forward and backward between Adam's creation and the second Adam's creation. You know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, it said, as we are born the nature of the earthly man, that's Adam, the first creation, we also must bear the nature of the heavenly man, the second Adam, the second creation. So that's why we will make comparison between the first creation and what? The second creation. You are a creation in Christ Jesus. So please, let's go to Ephesians. The reason we'll come to Ephesians is because, why is it that the order is so important, that you must first sit? Now, when we kept on saying sitting and resting, you know, in last transmission, some viewers or listeners who are listening to this discussion between us might end up thinking, are we so much focused on dormancy? Are we simply saying once you are created, or saying that once you come to encounter Christ, is a seated Christ, just see him seated and just forget it, it's all set to just sit down and do nothing? That would seem to be the thing we're actually promoting, but that could not be far from the truth. I mean, because we're not just promoting a dormant sitting down position in Christian work, because we understand scriptures that tells us that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We understand that there were good works for us to actualize in Christ Jesus. You see, he didn't say we were created in Christ Jesus to sit down. He didn't say we were created in Christ Jesus just to understand that he's seated and then do nothing. He said we were created to what? Unto good works. Works. When we're created, God had a mission for us. And that would seem actually in agreement with Adam as well.
Yeah.
That when Adam was created, he was created to work. We know that. I mean, we saw the case where the scripture says, let them what? Replenish, let them multiply, let them dominate the earth. There was an assignment for Adam to what? To get into. So the problem is not that. I mean, for you as well, and for me as well, even the book of John, the gospel. He says what? Jesus said in the gospel, he said, you didn't choose me.
Well, I chose
you. I chose you. And I ordained you so that you can go and bear fruit. People need to see. People need to see something emanating out of our lives. So can you see? None of those scriptures actually count as the fact that we have to go out there and show forth and demonstrate. Can you see? We were created unto good works. So we're not promoting dormancy. We're not saying it's not important what comes out of your life after your new birth. That's not what we're saying. We're only emphasizing the order. That's it. The order. And see, the order is everything. When I say order, O-R-D-E-R, which means, where did you start from? That is what is important. And that's the problem. You see, where did you start from? Are you starting from a place of what? Rest. Yes. It's important. The scripture says rest must be your starting point. Look at Ephesians.
Yes, before you go there, we cannot make light of the appearance of our host. Even if you are the guest and we come for an appointment, if we see your host on easy, you know, you really, you can't even feel easy yourself.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of posture. So we cannot make light of the posture of Jesus on the sitting on the well.
Yeah.
So if we find your host very relaxed, you feel like, yes, that you feel relaxed. When you feel it tense, you can't
feel
it.
It's loitering around. You feel
tense as well. You don't feel welcome. You don't even, no matter the conversation, you don't really want to know what is it before. So really, the appearance of the posture of Christ, it's very, very important.
Good. Now, thank you for making mention of that. Don't forget, we said the posture of Christ is about the starting point.
Yes.
He wants us to know this is where you have to kick off from. And now look at the book of Ephesians. The reason I've mentioned the book of Ephesians is if you are a Christian and you want to understand the structure, the purpose, and the goal of the Church of Christ, this is one of the books you cannot brush aside. This is a very important book. It tells you about the mission, the purpose, and the structure of the Church of Christ. But you see, if you look at Ephesians, I tend to call it a 3-2-1 formula. And I'll tell you the reason. I call it 3-2-1 because if you notice when this was written, it was, of course, by the title Ephesians. It was written to the people of Ephesus. Now, I mean, if you check the book of Acts, the journeys of Paul, the city of Ephesus keeps coming up most of the time. And I would say not for a very good reason in most cases. I mean, that was the city that, I mean, Paul went to, that he met the magicians and those who are, you know, curious works and all that. In fact, the Ephesians were known for one thing. They had a principality, a demonic entity that was called Diana, the queen of the Ephesians, of the Ephesians. Can you see? This was a city that was under, you might want to put in quote, demonic siege. Can you see that? Satanic attacks and all that. And they had lots of terrible people who were manipulating others with magic and with curious works in that city. Now, when Apostle Paul was going to write the gospel to the Ephesians, those in Ephesus, I mean, what do you expect him to do? You was going to expect him to say, you know what, Christians, if you are born of God, it's time to get out there and demonstrate the power of God and counter the evil and the darkness in the land. But you see, it's amazing that when the book of Ephesians was written, for the first three chapters, now you can do this yourself, you can have a look at this. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all they focused on was to tell the Ephesians, who are Christians, that you are what? You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. He talks about the fact that you were redeemed. He talks about the fact you were purchased by the blood of Jesus. He talks about the fact that you were forgiven. All this are the language that the Apostle Paul used in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 of Ephesians. Now, if you just do a short discourse, you can see, let's do a short read. Chapter 1, verse 7, what does it say? Ephesians 1, 7, what does it say?
In him we have redemption.
In whom, can you see, in whom we have redemption. not over time, not if I actually ask for forgiveness or if I actually try to please God or if I'm serious with my Christian work. He said, in whom you have. You see, have is something you have in your possession already. Can you see? In whom you have what?
Redemption.
These are past tenses of God. This is what you guys seated. He's telling them about what they have, their position in Christ Jesus. So if you notice, all of chapter 1 was written in the past tense to the believer. That's what you see in chapter 1. Now you go to chapter 2, the same thing. And in chapter 2 is where we got this popular thing about, for by grace are you saved through faith. All done, saved through faith. He said you are delivered, you are set free in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3 carries on with the same tone. Can you see? So that's the whole point. It talks about a believer who is set to done and dusted in Christ Jesus for the first three chapters of Ephesians. Now what happens? He moves on to chapter what?
Four.
And he changes the vocabulary in chapter 4. The grammar changes in chapter 4. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 then talks about the fact that since I talked about what was done and dusted in Christ Jesus, what is available to you because Christ died and what? Resurrected. The things that are available to
and
you.
And how he has broken the
wall. And how he has broken the wall. Everything is done. Now let's talk about how you can then begin to respond and work and live your life in the world based on what the first three chapters did. That's why chapter 4 and chapter 5 was focused on your walking in Christ. Every time the Bible says walk, that's why chapter 4 from verse 1 says, what does chapter 4 verse 1 say? Can you see?
I therefore the prisoner of the Lord.
Okay.
Beseech you that ye walk worthy.
Say walk worthy. Now can you see? Now I'm talking about how you live your life now. You don't start the gospel from how you live your life. Now this is the problem that you have. People want to start their own Ephesians from chapter 4. You cannot do that. Your Ephesians must start from chapter 1. Wow. You cannot tell people. That's why somebody gets born again and they meet a Savior. We start talking about how do you walk. That is a twisting of the structure. That's why I said it's all about order. This is why it was important to Jesus that the woman in John chapter 4 met him sitting. It's not that this woman will be all the way sitting all through. She has to go and walk. Chapter 4, Ephesians. She has to walk. She has to demonstrate to people. In fact, we will see later as we're going through John chapter 4, this bucket ministry series of a woman who went to the city and demonstrated to people. But first, she had to meet a sitting Savior. So the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 of Ephesians began to talk about the walking of the believer. And let me say this, because I think this is one thing that we need to really bring out. When it comes to your walking as a believer, your walking as a believer has nothing to do about impressing God. I'll repeat that. Your walking as a believer has nothing to do with what? Impressing God. This is where some people get it twisted. And that's what your sitting was meant to what?
That's it.
Your sitting was meant to achieve that you have no record to improve anymore with God. Because you have entered into His rest, not your rest. Because when God said, everything I made was what? Good. You entered into His rest. You got the benefit of the work that He did. So it means the chapter 4 of Ephesians, if it's talking about you walking worthy, can you see? When it says walking, living a life, showing forth fruits, can you see? Giving expression in
to
life
what is inside
to what is inside. And the goal of that could not be because you want to say, you know the reason why God said everything I made was what?
Good.
Was good. Bible says God looked at everything He made. Don't forget, He did that on the seventh day. And man was what? Included. And He said, it's what?
Good.
It's good. Finished, isn't it? Don't try to improve your record with me. For me, it's good. That's why sitting.
And the same thing happened at the new creation at the cross too. It was finished.
It's finished. You see?
Because people might just be thinking that was
Sitting is your record with God. That's why you are seated with Christ. Your sitting is your record with God. It's how you relate with God. I repeat that. Your sitting posture is how you relate with who? With God. Now you want to ask the question. If chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians addressed our sitting position with Christ. Now the chapter 4 talking about, now let's process.
That.
Let us demonstrate that to people. Let people see your light. Let them see. Now, I've actually busted the bubble. Because when I said, let people see, it means your walking is how you relate with people. That's why you see, we're going to read some scriptures. Anytime you walk worthy of the vocation that you have what? You have received, what you are doing is you are shining the light. And if you notice what the Bible says, let your light so shine before God.
No,
maybe he said so. He said, let your light so shine before God. So God can say, oh, that means this is actually a true Christian. So God can say, I like the way you prayed today. So that God can say, I like the way you witnessed to people today. Or God can say, I like the way you actually spoke the truth in a very, in a very dire situation. God can say, well, your light has shone before me. Your light. God doesn't need your light to shine before him. Because, you know why? Because you've entered into his rest. You are getting the benefit of his rest. God has already said, this is good. God looked at everything he made,
accepted in the
including you, and God said, this is good. So if God said this is very good, what do you want to do again? To impress him that you are much, much more very good? No. That's why anytime we shine as light in his word, we are shining to men. We are demonstrating to men that we have a new life in Christ Jesus. You are not doing that to impress God. That's the reason why the apostle Paul spent 3 chapters talking about
And that's in Matthew chapter 5. He was saying that you shine your light and so the glory goes to the Father.
Yeah, but who gives glory to the Father?
Yes, true. Also, what we do when we shine the light.
Now, when he says that, that's a good thing. When he says that, he's talking about when men, he said, so that men will see your light and glorify the Father in heaven.
Yes, I'm just trying to bring it out in case some people are thinking that is for God. So they need to really understand what that verse is.
Okay, good. But that's a good thing. Thank you for mentioning that verse. That place in Matthew says, when you shine your light before men, okay, he said, they will
see your good works.
God doesn't need to be impressed by your good works because, you know, the reason why there's works. I mean, this is, I pray the Holy Ghost will help us this time so that we actually put everything in perspective. When you actually show forth good works, when you demonstrate that you have the life of Christ in you, when you shine your light, when you put up the character that is consistent with someone who is a believer in what? In Christ Jesus. When you demonstrate anything, it actually achieves something. The reason why people want to work, I mean, let's talk about people who want to work today. Why do you want to walk worthy of the vocation that you have received? Why do you want to display things? People tend to display things today just to demonstrate to people that I'm not in an entity. Oh, I would ask you a question. Why do you want... The reason why we work today, the reason why people have a career, people have a job, or somebody in ministry wants to make sure, I don't want to preach to 3 people or 4 people. You want to have a large number of people in the administration. You want to demonstrate. And the reason people want to demonstrate is to tell someone, I carry the grace of what? Of God. I'm not a useless person. I'm somebody to reckon with. I have the power. I have the anointing, or I'm called of God. Every time we work, we are trying to prove something. It doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not, but that's the reality. You don't have to say it with your mouth, but underneath the whole work, there is something that you want to do to demonstrate to people that you carry something. Either in the secular world or in the spiritual realm, work is always tied down to demonstrating and proving what? Something. And what God said is, you know the reason why God said he was going to go into rest? What did we say in your last transmission? God said, this is very what? Good. And because he said it's very good, then he said, now I can what? Rest. Every time there's rest, it's because somebody has announced that this is completed. It's finished. But God gave Adam the opportunity to enter into rest. You don't rest until it's finished, until the work is completed. Until there's an approver that says it's all sorted out. But once you get the approval, it's like getting the approval at the beginning before the work is what?
Done.
What does he say? That delivers you from... So every time you're going to work worthy of the what? Vocation that you have received. Others are trying to work so that they can prove a point. You are working even before your point was already proved. You already sat. The point's already made. Before you start what? To work. So you see chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ephesians talks about our walking.
Yes, in the long run, it's showing the different purpose and for the walk.
Yes,
it's serving different purpose. The two different people might be able to doing the same thing, and they have different, you know, it's serving different purpose, the same walk. Because somebody is going from the consciousness of I've already been awarded.
I've been awarded.
Yes, before I've met all the points. I've fulfilled all the criteria. It is finished. I've completed. Even you can see the before I
God said this is very
good. Anything at all before I could lift my finger or any initiative, I've already been awarded. It is already completed. So you can imagine that we compare that or contrast that with someone else that would miss to achieve. He needs what he needs to do something to be awarded. That is the difference, and that is what we are using this exposition to challenge. Yet some because people might run off and say we are doing the same work. Does it really matter? It's work. It's good work. It's good work. Well, no, there is a whole lot of difference.
What is the motivation for your good work? Are you trying to work worthy so that you can get the approval? It means you
are working the consciousness.
It means you are trying to work so that you can
win the medal. Yes, working to sit.
No, you are meant to sit so that you can walk. This is what we have come to present today.
Today, sit before you walk.
The book of Ephesians spent 3 chapters talking about your sitting before it began to talk about your walking from chapter 4. So don't the world system tries to walk so that they can rest.
You have to earn it before you can.
You have to walk so that you can sit. Yeah. That is how the world system works. In the order of God, in God's kingdom, we sit so that we can walk. And this is what we see. And this is why in John chapter 4, we encounter a case where Jesus made sure this woman encountered him first, sitting as a sitting savior. And that's what we see there.
Yeah, it's good that people have to come to the consciousness that we're talking about the kingdom that works diametrically opposite to what
complete
this kingdom of this
opposite.
World. Because in this world, you have to work for a certain number of years before you can think of your pension. Yes. Even some of those pension policies, you cannot access it. After some years, you have given this length of service. So that's why you get a certain length of commemoration for this dutiful service over the years.
That
is what happens in the world, and that is why it is. But we just have to remember this is the kingdom we're talking about, which is runs opposite of what happens in the world, that you already have been awarded. And so we have to remember the new creation, it is already completed. We have a certificate of competence and completion. Right before we could think about anything, or even lift our fingers, we're already awarded. And everything is already completed. So you can just walk in that consciousness. We still have to walk, but in the consciousness that I don't need to end this anymore.
I'm not
I don't
point
need to impress anybody anymore. And nobody asking something is marking anything anymore. It has already been marked. You know, I've already completed the course even before I started. And that is the whole difference. I really must know that difference today, even when we want to do the work.
You see, there's something we need to really emphasize before we actually carry on with Ephesus, or because of Ephesians, sorry. We need to emphasize the fact that sitting is how we relate with God.
Sitting.
Walking, which is from chapter 4 of Ephesians, is how we relate with men. It is men that need your walking. Now, if you are wondering, do we have scriptures to support this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I mean, we might have to just, you know, have a look at this.
Yes.
Some few scriptures. That walking is how you relate with men. That's why they are the ones that need to see your light and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, quickly, let me just emphasize these few things. You can go to Hebrews. I mean, we look at 1 Peter 2:12. And we'll look
Hebrews
at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 to 14.
Hebrews.
Yeah, what does it say?
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet.
Now, please, you're reading Hebrews 2:12. Now,
okay,
Hebrews 2. Now, I want you to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter 2:12 first. Pardon us. 1 Peter 2:12 before we then read.
Yes,
the Hebrews.
1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation unknown.
Now, when you say conversation,
honest.
Now, when we say conversation, it's a very old English for lifestyle. It's not conversation like talking like you're doing. If you check the original Greek word, it's a let your lifestyle. Now, that's your walking, isn't it?
Yes.
Your walking, your lifestyle, what you do, what you say. Now, what is it? Now, what does it say then?
Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles.
Okay, that's your walking, honest lifestyle.
Among Gentiles,
it didn't say do it so that God can know that you qualify. Can you see that? Having your conversation, your lifestyle honest among You see, that clarifies what I was saying, the fact that when you're walking worthy of the vocation that you have received, it is because of man, not because of God. Can you see that? It's because of man. Man is the focus of your walking, so that people can see that you have the light of God in you. Now, you want to read that?
Yes.
Okay.
That whereas they speak against you as evildoers.
Well, some of them might not even like you. They might speak against you as evildoers. They don't like your face. They don't like the fact that you profess to be born of the Spirit, to be born of God. What's the next in that?
They may by a good works, which they shall behold.
They will see it. Can you see
glorify God in the day of visitation.
Can you see that? So does that agree with Matthew?
Yes, this is Message translation.
What did it say?
Amplified.
Amplified. Go on.
Keep your behavior excellent among the unsaved Gentiles.
You keep your behavior excellent. It seems that your behavior, your conduct really is for the Gentiles. It's for them.
Yes, that's the audience.
It's not for God. I mean, you see, you might be wondering, why are we emphasizing
does it matter
this? It does matter. The reason it matters is because, like I said the other time, that you see, this when we keep saying behavior and conduct, do you know that we could actually extend this not just within the four walls of the church, but even right under the street? We could extend it to Wall Street. We can extend this to universities, institutions. We can extend this to the marketplace. We can extend this to all of life, all ramifications. Because every time people work, every time people conduct themselves in anything of life, they have a purpose to trying to do it, and they're trying to what? Impress. You might just say impress people, that's true, but much more importantly, they're trying to impress themselves. They're trying to prove a point to themselves, to say, you know what,
I am
a
very,
to answer a question, that am I very good?
Yes. Am I competent?
Am I competent? Do I have what it takes? Am I significant? Am I a person of value? So what we try to do is, we try to what? You try to get a next degree, the next higher degree in the university, so that people can know, so that you want to prove to yourself that I can do this. I'm a person of value, of importance. This is what we want to try and achieve. What? What? To inform ourselves that we are very good. But what did God say? Including what the Adam he made in Genesis what, chapter 1.
And the new creation too.
He simply said, God looked at everything that he made and he said it was very what? Good. Including Adam. You are very good. Completed. You are finished. We are finished you. You are good. You are perfect. You are valuable. You are significant. You are somebody that is precious in the eyes of the Father. That's why I say,
at the point of the second creation, it is finished.
It is finished at the second creation. You are valuable. You are my asset. And now, that's why I said sitting is how the Father sees us. But you know one thing? Even though that's set it out in Christ Jesus, but when it comes to what? Walking. People need to see what has been done in you. And that's where the walking comes in. That's why we demonstrate. That's why we live honestly among men. That's why we speak the truth. That's why we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of somebody who has received the grace of God into their lives. This is the purpose behind walking, and that's what we can see. Can you see that? Now, have you finished that verse? Are you trying to read from a different translation or something?
Yes.
Yeah, what does it say then?
Keep your behavior excellent among the unsaved Gentiles.
Okay.
Conduct yourself honorably with graciousness and integrity.
Good.
So that for whatever reason, they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds, they may instead come to glorify God in the day of visitation.
So the honor goes back to God because of the fact that they can see what you're doing and glorifying God. Now, so the Apostle Paul spent chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ephesians, to address our walking. And like I said, it's completely connected to how man relates with us, not how God relates with us. Now, you want to read Hebrews chapter 2 as well, as a third testimony to what we are talking about. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 14 that we read the other time. Hebrews 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was chapter 12, from verse 12 to 14. Now, you can see we're talking about a structure, the order of the kingdom. You cannot get this twisted. Hebrews chapter 12, what is it from verse 12?
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down,
good,
and the feeble knees,
okay,
and make straight path for your feet.
Make straight path for your feet.
Let that which is lame be turned out of the way,
good,
but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men.
Now, watch that. Follow peace. He didn't say with God. Can you see that? And why?
Peace with God.
Because it said in Romans chapter 5, from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. He talks about the fact that through the grace of our Lord Jesus, he said we have what? Peace with God. He said we have peace with God through the grace we have received of the Lord Jesus. And he talks about it in whom we have what? We have grace, we have peace, and we have grace. So the point he's trying to make is with Christ Jesus, with the very death of Christ, with the shedding of the blood of Jesus, the wall of enmity between man and God has been broken down, and now we have peace with God. Can you see that? That's why it doesn't make any sense. If somebody's trying to say, Father, let me have peace with you, or you're praying such prayers, or you are seeking such things, it doesn't make sense. Now, what does it say then about the issue of peace? It says, follow what?
Peace with all men.
Now, let's talk about your walking. Can you see how do you relate with men? That's where the issue of peace comes in. Go on, please.
Without and holiness.
Now, if it says follow peace with all men, you know, I'm not sure whether you've actually seen some captions on some church flyers or people put as the motto of their ministry, and they talk about the fact that without what? Holiness. No man shall see the Lord. Now, this is where people get that scripture from. But let us see what that scripture is actually saying. Now, can you go on and read that again? This is what
verse
we're reading.
14, now. Verse 14.
What does it say?
Follow peace with all men.
With all men.
And holiness.
Now, does it make sense to then imagine, and just by contextualization, to simply say that the holiness he was talking about would have to be with all men? Now, read the next phrase. What does it say then?
Without which, no man shall see the Lord.
No man shall see the Lord. Now, I would, again, like I said in the last transmission, this is the word of truth and reason, and I will seek your indulgence with this. Let us have a think about it. No man shall see the Lord. Now, let's compare that with 1 Peter 2:12. He said, even though, he said what? Let your light shine before men,
having your conversation honest
so that they may see your good works.
Yes.
Now, who are the men that are meant to see something? It is not you. The men, the Gentiles, the unbelievers are the ones that are supposed to see something in you because of your good works. So when Hebrews 12:14 then says, if you don't follow peace and what and holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Which man was he talking about?
The Gentiles. See the Lord.
They would
the
not see
the Lord,
if your walking is not well done, they would not see the fact that you are seated. Even though you are seated with Christ, people need to see the Lord in you. He's not talking about you trying to, dress up in a way, talk in a way, so that you can see the Lord. Mm. If you do that, it means you want to start walking before you sat.
Yes, I want to read the Message translation.
Okay, you can read that, please.
Verse 14, it says, work at getting along with each other.
Can you see that?
And with God.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you never get so much as a glimpse of God.
Good. Now, again, now the reason...
That's Message translation.
Yeah, that's the Message translation. Now, you see, the point is, the reason why the Message translation has done that, Eugene Peterson, is they try to make a sense of that verse. But now, I humbly do say that is not a correct translation in the Message translation. Now, I'm going to, like a lawyer making a case, please don't believe what we are saying unless you are convinced. Yeah, okay, read that first.
Continually pursue peace with everyone.
Okay.
And the sanctification. Without which no one will ever see the Lord.
Good, that's fine. Now, that's fine. Well, that doesn't still clarify very well. Which one is he talking about? But again, I told you, when it comes to reading and interpreting the scripture, contextualization is everything. Before and after the verse, read the concept, the context. Now, you can see, he said, follow peace with what?
All men.
Can you see that? Now, let's see. And holiness without which no man shall see. Now, again, who are these men? We just said, if he says follow peace with all men, looking at 1 Peter 2:12, using Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, we should actually come to a safe conclusion that those men are the people seeing you, following peace. That's why I said follow peace. It didn't say follow peace with God, with them. So when you follow peace with them, then they can see something in you. Now, hold on to that. Another further proof is the next verse that follows it. Look at the tone of the next verse. Again, see, contextualization is everything when interpreting
verse
scripture.
15.
Verse 15. Well, now watch this again in verse 15.
Looking diligently.
Good.
Lest any man.
Good.
Fail of the grace of God.
Okay.
Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you.
Good.
And thereby many be defiled.
Affecting others. So if you look at it, I submit to you chapter 12, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14 in context about how does it affect others. How does it affect others? That was the context.
It's, yeah, so it is wrong for people to just bring this 14
there
out,
is nothing
out of the
there that talks about it affects God. You have to read verse 12, verse 13, and what? In fact, in verse 14, when it says the reason you should not be bitter is so that you don't want others to be what?
Defiled.
I mean, you don't want to affect the way they see or what they see or how it affects them. So in context, the three verses, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, was
continuation.
All talking about how is it that how you do what you say affect them.
Yes, I've seen the Lord in you.
You've seen the Lord in you. Follow peace with them and make sure you live a holy what? Yes. Life, so that they can see something in you. So that you don't cause them to become...
See the Lord in you, yes.
See the Lord in you. So that you don't cause them to be defiled. You don't pollute. It's about them. That's the context. You can read this yourself. I mean, you don't even need to have a PhD in Greek interpretation to understand these things.
Yeah.
That's the point. So here again, we see another evidence, the fact that every time you walk right, every time you walk, it's not for God. That's why I said it when we started that your sitting is how you connect with God, but your walking is how you relate with what? With men. It's not for God. Now, the problem some Christians do have, why there's a lot of defeat today in Christian walk, when people are frustrated, somebody says, you know what, today it's victory for me, tomorrow is defeat. I don't seem to have the persistent, consistent joy of the Lord in my spirit. Could it be that you are trying to twist the order? Could it be that you are trying to walk before you see? Or could it be that you are trying to walk and believing that your walking would impress what? God. When the scripture says your walking is supposed to put an impression on men that you already were seated.
Some might be thinking of walking so that they will see God. Thinking the way they are.
Some say, you know what, I have to make sure I live perfectly holy so that I can see God in my life.
So God can see them.
So that God can see you.
Or they can see God.
It's for people to see Christ in you. That's why the Apostle Paul always says, walk worthy of the vocation you have received. It's about people. 1 Peter 2:12 talks about it. Hebrews 12:12-14 talks about it.
And the book of Matthew, chapter the Sermon on the Mount.
This is our motivation as Christians. To make sure that we conduct ourselves rightly. We're not doing it for God. You're not doing it to score a record sheet with God.
You are seated with
Christ in the heaven. It is finished. You are fully accepted in the Lord. So, you see, the first three chapters...
We've already seen the Lord and the Lord has seen you. Yes.
That is it. Now, from there, go ahead and walk worthy.
And the others might see the Lord
in you. Others need to see the Lord in you. Others need to glorify your Father who is in heaven when they see your good works. This is the purpose of our walking. It's not for God.
Yes, for people that might just thought maybe for the last exposition, I was thinking we were just talking about sitting.
Nah.
So that he got to walk and walk. Yes, we support to walk, as you can see, sit. But the order must be established.
The order must be established
before walk. And the purpose of the walk is not for you to make an impression on God. Or for you to see God, or
so that God can
see
this is very good.
Or for God to see you, we are not about the record. It's already completed. The Christ has satisfied all the requirements.
Amen.
God, he has satisfied the justice system of God.
Amen.
So he has completed everything. You don't need to do anything to that. It's already completed. But the work you have to do must even come from your sitting position after you have seated. So you cannot rush off. That is it. You cannot live your life from chapter 4 of Ephesians. You have to start from chapter 1 to know who you are in Christ and what Christ is in you. 1, 2, 3, after the ingrain, that is when you can move out. And then moving out, you need to understand that this is for others to see God
in you
so that they can glorify God. Going through Matthew chapter 5, going to
1 Peter 2:12.
That is it. And so it is wrong for anybody to just speak a verse out of context and feel like, no, I need to make an impression.
Amen.
We cannot find that constitutionally.
So can you see, living holy is not negotiable. Living
walking
worthy is not something you can say, should I not? It's very critical. We do not downgrade it. We do not even downplay on it. Because I know you and I, we don't want to live a life where people begin to misinterpret God because of us.
And the people get defied. So
we
cannot allow bitterness
because of us.
Yes.
Or somebody cannot even see who God is because of you.
Yes.
Because you're not following peace with them. because you're not living holy. They can't see. No, men are not seeing the Lord
yes.
in you.
That's right? The opportunity. You're blocking the race. Yes.
This is the reason we work worth it. You're not
this
keeping.
This is the reason we follow peace and holiness.
You don't have any such record sheet. You're building up great with God. No, you don't have it. Because Christ is the record of God for your life. And Christ was fully accepted by the Father. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And that's what he said in Genesis. This is very good. Okay, you see, and now you are in Christ. So you're very good. You're already accepted.
Finished.
That's what we see in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ephesians. Can you see that? So again, what happens in chapter 6? And then in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul began to move from, you know, he was sitting in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Then he was then walking in the next two chapters of Ephesians. The last chapter, you know, we've done an expose on this in the past.
Yes.
Chapter 6 is where, so let's talk about your standing.
That is not casting, so yeah. That's right. We are drawing the attention of our audience.
Then it begins to talk about your standing. That's what we talked about. Take on the full armor of God so that you can stand, can you see, in the evil day. So he changed the posture in chapter 6. He said, no, it's time to stop walking. It's time to stop. It's not about just walking and demonstrating to people. Let's talk about how you relate with the enemy. Can you see? The sitting, how you relate with God. The walking, how you relate with what? With men. And the standing, how you relate with the enemy. Can you see? So, every posture in the realm of the spirit has an intended target for a Christian. Can you see? The targets are different. Every posture has a particular person or a particular situation is meant to target. So your standing is how you target and deal with the enemy. And that's why we see that in chapter 6 of what? Ephesians. You don't want to say?
Yes, what I want to say is like we really need to understand the other's posture and we really need to get used to it, and we need to train ourselves. You know, the scripture says, yes, what train is a training material. We need to train ourselves to be seated. Because some people they can't afford to sit, they can't sit down. So we know that it is important for us to be able to know all this posture. We have to know how to train ourselves to sit, to walk, when we need to sit, when we need to walk, and the way we need to walk, how we need to walk. And then when we need to stand, when we get to that, how we need to stand. Because bringing the analogy, we have a child or we have an adult, any human being who can sit, who cannot walk, who can walk, cannot stand, you know, it is a problem. Because some people might be experts in walking, but they don't even know how to sit. Some they don't know how to stand in those things that they have. They have received from the Lord to stand with enemy, but they can just do all work and walk themselves to death. So we really need to understand this and train ourselves. Train ourselves to sit in the understanding of what he has accomplished. You know, today we can see people have programs in which they can do about all this, about walking. Well, they cannot conveniently, some cannot comfortably just sit down, understanding all he has accomplished for them. Sitting down, have us of just sitting down to reflect on this. Amen. So they rather do programs to say, let us walk, and the walking out, but not the sitting. So we really have to exercise ourselves and be comfortable with all this. And understand why they, where they are.
No, thank you. You've actually, you know, mentioned something that really is a food for thought in terms of this posture. We understand the order and the pattern in which they have to be established. Now, the reason is, if you don't follow the order, if you don't follow the particular pattern of Ephesians in terms of the order of your posture in the realm of the spirit. For example, if you want to start your own very first day of creation with walking. Like Adam, that God made sure Adam started his first day of creation with what? With sitting, with resting. If you want to start your own day with walking, what happens? You put the weight of your body on yourself.
Yeah.
And when you're walking, that's why we have tired, frustrated Christians who are trying to walk before the seat. Because the weight comes on you, and how long can you carry on the weight? You'll be tired, you'll be what? Frustrated, you'll be weak, you would, you know, that's why he says.
And then you are running off without making available of the resources that you need for even the journey, the walking.
For the walking. That's
yes, you need to sit up. You know, he was talking to Elijah, he said, you sit and eat, for the journey is long. So people are running off without taking in to know what the book of Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3 was like, who they are, what they are. That's you're getting fueled up.
Amen.
That is your point of fueling up in the tank and refueling. Now, so imagine running off without any fuel. That is the thing.
Do you know one thing that actually, as you were talking, again, I trust that the Lord wants us to, in a way, you know, expand the applications of this discussion.
Okay.
Again, beyond the four walls of the church. to expand that into the marketplace, to expand that into you know, your job, into your career, into your study, into every aspect of your life. You know, I trust the Lord wants us to make that what that expansion. You know, for example, we see people today who are working. I say work, W-O-R-K-I-N-G, who go to work, who actually have a career, people who actually have something like a professional. And the reason why people do these things is because they want to achieve not just necessarily just working, to be a blessing to humanity, which is a good thing. But people are trying to do most of these things so as to feed themselves with that sense of approval, yeah, that sense of acceptance, that sense of significance, that sense of value. They want to put a value on themselves through those things. And that's why people are tired. Because every time you think, if I do this, I think now people would know that I'm a person to be reckoned with, or I'm not in an entity. Once you do that, you think that's enough. Then again, you feel what? Inadequate. And you want to go for what? The next stage. That's why it's tiring. It's fatigue. See, it's a tiring that goes with such a mentality. And that's why you cannot kick off with walking. It is tiring. You can't kick off with walking. You have to first sit. You have to first rest before you start walking. So if you disorganize, or shall I say, if you, in a way, miss around the order, it will actually lead to frustration. And I think that's the reason when you read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, it says strengthen what the feeble knees. Strengthen. You see, every time the scripture talks about be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that's what Ephesians chapter what? 6. What's it talking about? It's saying go all the way back to chapter 1 of Ephesus, of Ephesians. Why do I keep saying Ephesus? I don't know why I keep saying Ephesus. Now, go all the way back to Ephesus. I know I keep saying Ephesus. Even when it comes to standing against the enemy. When it comes to standing against the enemy, how did it start? In chapter 6, verse 10, what did he say?
Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord.
Before he says, let's deal with the enemy. Let's come against the works of darkness. He says, no, you know what? If you're going to stand, if enemy will push against you and you keep standing, you will need to go back to chapter 1 and gather strength and know where you are seated. Know from where you're operating. That's the point. So that's why you see so many people saying, and it's important that you know that this book of Ephesians was written to people in the midst of serious demonic activity. Like we said, go to the book of Acts and see what happens in Ephesus. Can you see that? These are people that were in the midst of attacks, in the midst of satanic manipulations in their days. But yet, it seems like the Apostle Paul was not too much in a hurry to push them all the way back to all the way forward to standing. To say, you know what, I understand that, I know that you people are facing
so much oppression,
attacks and all that. There's Diana, the queen of Ephesians, she's actually the principality over the land.
There's an established curious works.
There are magicians, there are people who are using the works of darkness
to put
the town in. Let's get at it and let's take our stand against the enemy. Now, is it not amazing to you that the Apostle Paul only spent one chapter on standing? I call it the 3-2-1 formula, because he spent 3 chapters on your sitting and 2 chapters on your walking, but only spent 1 chapter on your standing. And the reason he's done that, he said, he knows that you will stand anyway if you are strong in the Lord. You will stand if you were correctly sitting. You will stand if you were correctly walking. You will take your stand. And this is what we see. And you see, as we begin to talk now, it begins to occur to me that when we did our knockout series on the hammer of what? Of the Lord. All this hammer he was asking us to take on, put on this and take on that, they were all things that are connected to our sitting posture.
I was talking about that, because some people might just think sitting is a passive mode. Some people that are really agitated and people that are full of energy, and why? They're finding people, am I going to just go into a redundancy? I just have to sit down and just, what do you call that in science, the dormancy?
Yeah, just
the hibernation. They thought that sitting position is just an hibernation mode. That is not, it's not a passive. It's a time that you fell up. You can see in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, a lot of what to, because information is power.
That's why it took 3 chapters to talk about your sitting.
And then those informations in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, they are just, that is all the power you need.
That's
the power. You need to be empowered to know who you are. You have to know what is already in store.
What happened to you at your new birth?
Yes.
I mean, what did God
put in you? The stuff you are made of. What is your DNA?
Your position. Yeah,
the star host, everything that is available for you. What is who you have, who is in you. So that is just information. And then we cannot just believe to it because we already know information is power. All the power you need is you get it from your sitting position.
That's it. You're not putting the weight on yourself, you're putting the weight on someone
all
else.
This power that you need to match out to work is right. You have to get it in your sitting position. The power you will need is stamina to stand. You will need to get it from your sitting position. So the sitting position is not a passive mode. It's a sitting position to bury yourself, to know all that he has accomplished in you and for you. And that is, it takes a lot. You have to take a lot in. You have to feed yourself, refer yourself in that so that you're able to stand. But it's amazing today that so many people are living their life. It's not well approaching. Well,
the structure, just, the order.
Yes, and the percentage of their life, they're just living chapter 6 alone. They live all their life in chapter 6.
That is terrible.
And then so what happens?
Chapter
6, they are going to find it difficult in chapter 6 because they are not properly powered for chapter 6.
No.
They rush at chapter 6.
You can't go to chapter 6.
They really don't go and stay. You need to take your time in chapter 1, 2, and 3. You want to take your time in your sitting. You have to understand. Even Colossians was talking about see that you are seated. See that you are seated. We have all this. We need to have the understanding of this and stay in this. And then you make your standing to be so easy. People are finding standing so difficult now because they are not properly seated.
That would actually agree with the book of Proverbs that says, if you faint
in the day
of adversity,
then your strength
you didn't draw resources that are available for you at that time. And so the resources available are the things that he emphasized in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 of Ephesians. That's what is actually illustrated there, the power source, the power bank. And then, the chapter 4 and 5, the reason why chapter 4 and 5 is actually a journey through to standing, even the chapter 4 and 5 is on walking. The point is, if you don't actually walk through 4 and 5 and you want to run to 6, what happens in 4 and 5 is when people begin to speak evil of you, when your life does not reflect well on others, when you have a bad testimony among people, they can set you up for condemnation.
Yeah.
So that by the time you get to chapter 6 and you want to stand against the enemy, the enemy begins to use these things against you.
Yes, why you need the shield of faith.
Your relationship with others, what you said to this person, what you did to that person. That's why chapter 4 and 5 are equally important in the journey to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Why are we saying all these things today? We are saying this to tell you why you cannot afford to miss the order and why it was important to Christ Jesus that this woman first would encounter him at all as a sitting Savior. The order was so important to Christ Jesus.
Does it bother you that most people really are only interested in every ministry for a moment in chapter 6? Anybody that is talking about chapter 6 or something that learned chapter 6, they get animated, they feel, that's the most important thing, that is very serious, and then they shy away from every teaching moment. So some people don't even like teaching. You are in Christ and what do you feel? Oh, how important is this? But it's about how to face the enemy like this. You stand.
But
they really want to. People don't get the same kind of attention and this.
Maybe ministers.
They feel like this is not. Yes, this is not.
Focus on. Sitting.
People might. The irony is, some people might be looking at what are these ones saying? What is sitting and something? I wish somebody would say something that is relevant. Now they feel like what you're saying is not relevant. We are not in touch. They feel we are out of touch, and they feel like it's so easy for you to say that or something. And feel like we are playing, and this is child's play. They really want. Are you talking of chapter 6 or get off? If you are not talking of chapter 6, and people are ready to click away, but you really need to know chapter 1, 2, 3. Sitting.
Now, thank you for making reference to that. Now, I would actually encourage our viewers and listeners. I mean, again, we would actually encourage you to go through Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 20, and Acts chapter 21. Those three chapters of the book of Acts will tell you the status of Ephesus as a city when the Apostle Paul got there the first time.
So yes, could not be one.
Please read those three chapters. It will tell you about Paul's journey and Paul's experience in the city of Ephesus. In fact, it was so terrible that it took Paul over 3 years to get fruits in that land, to get the fruit of his ministry. Over 3 years.
And it was even more teaching.
That was a fault for 3 years in the synagogue. I mean, the point we're trying to make is that was not a very nice city, spiritually speaking. it was a hard ground. It was terrible. So you don't probably have any excuse to say that in your own life, things are actually terrible.
In your own country.
And that's the reason why you have the right to jump straight to Ephesians chapter 6 and start from there. Because even when Paul was going to write to this same Ephesians, Paul said, you know what, I know you're going through a lot at the moment. And I know that you are itchy to deal with the things around you.
Yeah.
And Paul said, I've seen those
things. I
know
the pressure.
But I will write to you and I'll spend 3 chapters talking about your city.
I will talk more, even though it was not separated in chapters there, but it shows the volume that
the
was
volume. He spent more, he focused more. That's what I call it, the 3-2-1 ratio. I mean, even if there were not 6 chapters then, but we could roughly say the volume was a 3-2-1 ratio. The 3 for what? Your sitting. And he spent 2 out of that, you know, the ratio, the proportion, to focus on what? I mean, what kind of percentage would that be? 3-2-1, if you do some maths.
Yeah, 16.
Let's do it this way. So if you're talking about 3, that's about 48 to 49%. So roughly, we say 48% was focused on what, your sitting position, and then it moved on to just about 30% or 32% to focus on what, you're walking, and then he only spent just about, you know, 20% to focus on what, on your standing. So you couldn't give an excuse to say you are in a much more terrible situation, therefore you want to spend your life in Ephesians chapter 6. If you do, run to chapter 6 of Ephesians and you misplace the order, you're going to have a lot of frustration. You will go around in a circle, and that's the reason people go around in a circle these days.
Yeah, so people get tired easily.
They repeat and go through the same cycle again and again with no result. Same kind of prayer point, same type of routine, same type of cycle.
So some people have been going through the same prayer point every year, and there's no end. There's no end game.
You know, because
they do the same deliverance, they do so many things, rituals, all the time,
over and over again. And if you do that, if you go to chapter 6, there will be, is it a chink in the armor or what? There's something when you have a space in your armor or something. I mean, an opportunity that the enemy can take advantage of. Because he knows
there's a gap.
You know, there's
a gap in your knowledge, a gap in your
He
standard.
Knows what he can play on. That's the reason why, if you remember, when we talk about knockout series, we have said it. You are not fighting the devil. That's why Ephesians 6 will tell you that take on the full armor so that you can withstand the schemes of the devil. What we're dealing with are the schemes of the devil. Even the wiles of the devil, the antics of the devil. What's his antic? To take advantage. That's why it says, we're not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians 3:11. Lest it what? Takes what?
Advantage.
What the devil does is, if he knows you're not sitting down,
he takes advantage.
So what's the point of going to chapter 6 of Ephesians without starting from chapter 1?
The enemy will take advantage anyway.
That's why it's just a point. It's a pointless thing to go to chapter 6 of Ephesians and start. Christ made sure this woman in John chapter 4 met him sitting. The order was so important. And that's what we actually began to focus on.
So today we want to enjoy you to say, get your life in order, sit before you walk and stand.
And walk before you stand.
That's it. Get everything in order, in perspective. Mm-hmm. I hope that with the time we're able to show and prove it to you with all those scriptures. And we enjoy you to go back and read all those scriptures again.
Yeah.
And see that it's not just about just tautology and just playing with words.
Mm-hmm.
That the posture really matter. Mm-hmm. And you need to sit well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sit well. And you know what your sitting is achieving. It's just a relationship. It's a relational position with God.
With
and your walking is about your relationship position with people.
With the world, with the people.
With the world, with the people. Mm-hmm. And they have to when we go to standing, if we ever go to it, it's about facing the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important for you to sit. It will be so important for you to walk after you have seated well.
Mm-hmm.
So today we hope we have been able to share that. Should you have any questions or comments on this, please just know how to hear. You can hit us up on our Facebook.
And before we finish, let me say this. We have, again, not completed this issue of rest. So please, you want to join us in our next transmission, because you need to look at all these things to get a full revelation of what we're sharing.
Yeah, it's good to remind the people that we came from John chapter 4. So people might wonder, we are doing Ephesians. And
we're showing the significance of why Jesus had to make sure this woman met him for the very first time as a sitting Savior.
Yes,
and that's what we see. We not look at how that affects you as a believer. You must also encounter the Lord as a new creation, as a sitting Savior as well.
Well, that tells you your Lord could sit. You need to sit down first.
Before you even actually get into the next postures, which is what we've shown you today.
So we'd like you to join us and share this with all your contacts. You need to share it by being the light in your walking. That's so that others see this. That is, we prefer see that That's much it. More mm. that you walk it out.
We would not tell you that if you share this, then the Lord will bless you 1,000 times.
Because you know, whatever you do does not really affect
you. No, your walking is not for God. It's for people.
The people. That's so it. Some people might just be, they might threaten you or something.
Manipulate you.
Yes.
The reason people manipulate others is because those people they are manipulating did not start with what? Sitting. It's
so
all about
you. People might tell you, if you do this, God will bless you. If you share this,
no,
or something.
No,
for you to share, for others to see this and be blessed.
That's the point.
That is the
and they can then glorify God. Can you see that? It brings glory to God, but not the way people talk about it. They are the ones that will glorify God for what you're doing and saying.
So you're afraid to share this, and so we're afraid to leave this out so that others will see your good works and glorify God. So till we see you next transmission, we want to say, sit before you walk.
And walk before you stand. God bless you.
Bye. Hello.